commission. I look to it. I put it to your care.
Good secretary, a word with you. Let there be letters writ to every shire of the king's grace and pardon.
Let it be noised that through our intercession this revokement and pardon comes. I shall anon advise you further in the proceeding.
I am sorry that the Duke of Buckingham is running your displeasure.
It grieves many. The gentleman is learned and a most rare speaker, to nature none more bound. Sit by us.
Your Majesty.
Ah, you shall hear this was his gentleman in trust. Bid him recount the four recited practices, whereof we cannot feel too little, hear too much.
Stand forth, and with bold spirit relate what you, most like a careful subject, have collected out of the Duke of Buckingham.
First, it was usual with him, every day it would infect his speech, that if the king should without issue die, he'll carry it so to make the scepter his.
Please your highness note this dangerous conception in this point. Not friended by his wish, to your high person his will is most malignant.
My learned lord cardinal, deliver all with charity.
Speak on. How grounded he his title to the crown upon our fail?
Not long before your highness sped to France, the duke did of me demand, what was the speech among the Londoners concerning the French journey? I replied, men feared the French would prove perfidious to the king's danger. Presently the duke said 'twas the fear indeed, and that he doubted 'twould prove the verity of certain words spoke by a holy monk. Neither the king nor his heirs shall prosper. The duke shall govern England.
If I know you well, you were the Duke Surveyor and lost your office on the complaint of the tenants. Take good heed you charge not in your spleen a noble person and spoil your nobler soul.
Let him on. Go forward.
On my soul, I'll speak the truth. I told my lord the duke, by the devil's illusions, the monk might be deceived. He answered, tush, it can do me no damage, adding further, that had the king in his last sickness failed, the cardinal's and Sir Thomas Lovell's heads should have gone off.
Huh? What, Sir Rank? Ah, there's a mischief in this man. Proceed.
Being at Greenwich, after your highness had reproved the duke about Sir William Bulmer.
I remember of such a time. What hence?
If, quoth he, I for this had been committed, as to the tower, I thought, I would have played the part my father meant to act upon the usurper Richard, who, being at Salisbury, made suit to Cummings' presence, which, if granted, as he made semblance of his duty, would have put his knife into him.
A giant traitor! There's his period to sheathe his knife in us. He's attached. Call him to present trial. If he may find mercy in the law, 'tis his. If none, let him not seek to thus. By day and night, he's traitor to the height.
Preparations are made for the Duke of Buckingham to be brought to trial. Meanwhile, Cardinal Wolsey gives a great supper at York Place to many fair guests and noble gentlemen, among them Anne Bullen.
You are welcome, my fair guest.
My lord.
That noble lady or gentleman that is not freely merry is not my friend. This to confirm my welcome, and to you all, good health.
My lord.
What's that? All that voice and to what end? Hey, ladies, fear not. By all the laws of war, you're privileged.
My lord cardinal.
How now? What is it?
A noble troop of strangers. For so they seem. They've left their barge and landed, and hither make as great ambassadors from foreign princes.
Oh. Say, Lord Chamberlain, they have done my poor house grace, for which I pay 'em 1,000 thanks, and pray 'em take their pleasure.